was there last year.
No, we kept it the same.
Darn. I thought we switched it to you. Yeah, it's 3 o'clock, so we will bring the Hope and Solutions meeting to order now. Could you take the roll call, Mr. Clerk?
Thank you, Vice Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair. Chair Halter is absent. Vice Chair Campos?
Here.
Councilmember Duran?
Here.
We do have a quorum.
So I will now call for public communications. If you haven't filled out a card, please do so or give your name to the clerk at the front of the room. Do we have anyone who wants to speak in public communications?
Thank you, Vice Chair. We do have one public comment. Judy Alexander, you have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. Glad we're meeting. So this is really quick. It's been on other agendas and just trying to get it, the information back so it can get on the agenda. What is happening with the Portland Loo? When will it be installed and where? What is needed and what is holding it up? Thanks.
That concludes public comment.
Thank you. So we'll go to our first information item regarding city-funded homeless programs.
Good afternoon, Vice Chair Campos, Councilmember Duran. My name is Leona Rollins, Housing Services Manager for the City of Ventura. This particular item regarding city-funded homeless programs will be presented by Management Analyst Elsa Fryer. Thank you.
During the April 15, 2024 meeting, the Hope and Solutions Subcommittee asked staff to produce a list of city-funded homeless programs. The city has 5 vital homeless programs, which are the Safe Seat Program, the Foul Weather Shelter Program, the All Roads Connect to Housing Arch Shelter, River Bottom Cleanups, and the Homeless Services Social Worker through the County of Ventura Human Service Agency. These programs are funded through general funds and Measure O funding to assist individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Staff is recommending that Hopes and Solutions Subcommittee receives and files this report. And staff is open to any questions.
Do you have any questions, Councilmember Duran?
I do. Do you want to take these in categories or do you want to take the whole thing?
I think you can address it however you like.
Okay, thanks so much. So thank you so much for the report. Thank you for sending this out. So some questions I have for the Safe Sleep Program are, where are the 2 locations that we currently have this program?
Yes, thank you for the question. I'm Councilmember Duran. So as of currently, we have a partnership with both the Church of the Foothills and the Unitarian Universalist Church of Ventura.
And what reporting is required from the Salvation Army?
Yes. So the reporting that is required, it involves, like, they have to include either a purchase order or agreement number. It has to provide completed and detailed invoices for services, the hours worked by each person who performs said services during a billing period, the dates on which those services were performed, a description of services performed, and any and all actual out-of-pocket expenses incurred in the performance of those particular services.
Thank you. So we're, and when you're talking about that, you're talking about results as well?
Yes. So, for example, if an individual or a family utilizes a safe sleep program, they are supposed to receive case management services. So, essentially, for some individuals, they want to make the transition from living in their personal recreational vehicles into shelter or permanent housing, while some have identified their personal vehicle or recreational vehicle as their new home. For those that want to make that transition, the case management services are essential, since it'd be able to connect them with available resources and services, as well as, you know, making sure that they're entered in the homeless management information system so they can be prioritized for housing opportunities and other services available to them to ensure that they're on a clear path towards permanent housing.
Thanks so much. And do we have any of those numbers currently at hand, like for the past 12 months? Do we know, you know, how many people were actually moved into housing, or what their current caseload is, or anything like that?
So, unfortunately, in summer 2023, the Salvation Army essentially closed their ended their partnership with the City of Ventura. However, the City of Ventura was not notified until last month. So, in terms of how many people are represented, the case management load, and the transition to permanent housing, we do not have any records of the sort.
Thank you. So the rest of my questioning, maybe we can just wait till we cover the foul weather shelter at the end. Is that, now, I do have some on the arch. Just curious how much the county is contributing to that pot?
Yes, thank you for the question, Councilmember Duran. Yes, so we have a cost-sharing agreement with the County of Ventura, where essentially we upfront the cost for the full cost of the arch shelter, and we get reimbursement at 50% from the County of Ventura.
And do we know how many people moved into permanent housing over the last year?
Yes. So for fiscal year 2023 to 2024, we had a number of 67 individuals transition from the ARCH shelter into permanent housing.
And this is just Ventura?
This is just in the City of Ventura. That is correct.
Congratulations. Average length of stay for a resident at the ARCH?
So the average length of stay can vary from individual to individual. Typically, the goal for emergency shelter is to have individuals transition within a 90-day period. However, with limited affordable housing resources in the county as of today, most individuals are staying a minimum of around 180 days, up to a year or a little bit more.
Well, thankfully, Valentine Road will help with that.
Exactly.
And then the other thing too is like, I know this is a low barrier shelter, so are there any requirements that the residents of the ARCH need to subscribe to, like looking for work or case management or therapy group or anything like that?
So as you indicated, it is a low barrier shelter, so there are no requirements in order for them to receive services through Mercy House for the ARCH shelter, but each individual is assigned to a case manager and a housing navigator to basically assist them with accessing resources to the county, getting document ready to make that transition, as well as ensuring that they have access to adequate income so that they can be, you know, basically put onto the path towards permanent housing or permanent supportive housing, depending on the need.
So if I'm understanding correctly, case management is mandatory.
I wouldn't utilize the term mandatory. It is at their, it is most individuals, based on the reporting mechanisms that the Mercy House has provided to us, 99% of the individuals there are receiving case management housing services to make that transition. That is correct.
Because it's my understanding it is transitional housing, so in order to transition out, you would need to subscribe to whatever help you're getting.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. And is there a reporting requirement for the ARCH as well, like we just heard from Salvation Army?
Yes, there are a number of reporting mechanisms that Mercy House has to utilize in reporting on a monthly basis to the City of Ventura. So the indicators that we look for are the numbers of clients served, the number of households served, number of new clients served. We also ask for information about the number of exits, whether they're exiting to permanent housing, temporary housing, or institutional settings. We request client demographics, program updates, how the program is transitioning and progressing throughout the fiscal year, as well as success stories on a monthly basis.
That's awesome. And then that information is given to who, or where does that go once you get it?
So essentially what happens is that we receive a report from Mercy House executive team. That report is then given to our to my staff, and then we review those documents. We have any questions, then we, you know, we ask clarifying questions towards Mercy House, and then based on the reports, the invoices that we receive, and the supporting documentation, invoices are then processed for payment.
And is there a way that we could, we as the HOPES committee could get that information? Because that's 67 people in a year, that's pretty amazing. And what's going on, it would be great for us to know, just because we get asked about this all the time, mm-hmm. or at least I do. What's going on at the Arch? Well, that'd be great to know, the success stories.
Exactly, yes. So yes, we can also coordinate with Mercy House staff to provide updates similar to what they provide in our detailed report. And then we can also attach copies of the monthly reports with each agenda for this particular subcommittee.
And I understand they're still full.
That is correct. They are at capacity at this moment.
Thank you so much. Continuing on with river bottom cleanups, I understand we do that every month, correct?
That is correct.
And I also, bear with me one second, I was looking at the, reading the report, and it said 25 tons roughly per month that we remove out of that area, out of the river bottom.
Yes, that is correct. It averages between 50 to 25 tons per month.
So I happened to see the last slide for the PTF who go down there and they track all this information. So I understand that last year, 326,000 pounds, about 13.6 tons a month. The amount of funding that we have for that, is that funding specifically for trash giveaway, or are there other things included in that?
There are a number of other line items that are included with that. So it also includes the cost for a crew, which averages between 10 to 12 staff members. It is a site cleanup mobilization fee, because there are certain materials and bins that they have to bring into the river bottom in order to collect the trash and debris and store it properly. And also they are assessed dump fees when those materials and items are dumped.
Thank you. Lastly, I just wanted to make a comment on the homeless service social worker. Not a question, just a comment that I am I'm actually thrilled with the amount of the results and the amount of work that is being done by our county social worker in Ventura. She is doing an absolutely amazing job. So I just wanted to note that. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm done.
Thank you. Could you go back a moment to the safe sleep?
Yes.
I think some months ago we asked you to prepare some options to lighten the restrictions so that more people can participate. Have you gotten that done? Have you had time to do that?
Yes. Thank you for the question, Vice Chair Campos. Yes. So we have actually started with the discussion of reducing the requirements for the program. So based on the subcommittee's decision in the month of March, instead of the requirements essentially being an operable vehicle, a recreational vehicle, a driver's license, and insurance information for the city of Ventura, that was now expanded to the county of Ventura. So that's the reason why we are currently, you know, speaking with the Church of the Foothills and the UU Church of Ventura to basically enter into agreements with them directly to ensure that we have the adequate space. So once we start, you know, doing the outreach for this program, that more people will know exactly where to go to receive those particular services.
If I may, Vice Chair Campos, item number four, safe sleep program. That's our fourth item on it. Includes all of that on there. So
I read the report, but I wanted to hear, because I have another question about that in this first moment.
Yes.
Is there outreach being done, or have you done it to the west side, to any location on the west side that can handle vehicles?
So what we're planning to do is do an expansion to ensure that we have adequate, basically, you know, we have great partnerships with the faith-based organizations, other nonprofit organizations. So although we are working on reestablishing our partnership with the Church of the Foothills and the UU Church, we also want to be able to expand that, not only, you know, from these, for those particular locations, but also onto the west side and also on the east end, because we do know that there's a number of individuals and families experiencing homelessness on both the west side and the east end that would greatly benefit from this type of program.
Thank you.
Vice Chair, may I ask, I forgot to ask a couple of questions in regards to the Safe Sleep Program as well. Just, I'll wait till item four.
Okay.
Do we have any public comment on that item?
Thank you, Vice Chair. We do not.
So we'll go to agenda item two, homelessness in the city.
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Campos. This item will also be presented by Elsa Fryer.
During the April 15, 2024 meeting, the Hope and Solutions Subcommittee asked staff to produce a visual report that demonstrates homelessness in the city. Utilizing the Ventura County Continuum of Care Homeless Point in Time Count, Attachment A shows a comparison of sheltered and unsheltered homelessness between the years 2023 and 2024 in the city of Ventura. Attachment B shows the homeless count trend for the years 2007 to 2024, and attachment C shows the demographics of homeless individuals utilizing the city proactive outreach program. Staff is recommending that the Hope and Solutions Subcommittee receives and files this report.
Thank you. Questions?
Thank you, Vice Chair Campos. First of all, I wanted to say let's take a win for the decreased number. Let's just thank you, everyone. And I only had one question in regards to the physical and mental health conditions, where it talks about physical disability, mental health disorder, developmental disability, alcohol use disorder, chronic health condition. Obviously, there's dual diagnoses in those, but we don't have that broken out. Like, we don't know, or do we? Do we know, like, how many dual diagnoses do we have in all of that?
Thank you for the question, Councilmember Duran. So essentially, when we were taking the surveys and doing the observations for the 2024 point in time count this year, basically it asked individual questions on whether or not you have a developmental disability, a mental disability, or physical disability. For a lot of individuals that were surveyed throughout this process, a lot of them did confirm that they do have dual diagnoses. Essentially, they either have like a physical and mental disability, they have a substance abuse issue, they have a chronic health condition. That's a lot of things that we were seeing when we surveyed the individuals and families in the river bottom. So yes, we were able to identify whether or not they have dual diagnosis, but it doesn't have a specific question that says, do you have a dual diagnosis in the actual survey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Duran. Any questions or any comments?
Thank you, Vice Chair. We don't have any comments for this item.
So we can move on to item number three.
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Campos. So item number three addresses the Hope and Solutions Subcommittee work plan. So on May 14, 2024, City Council directed staff to assist the Hope and Solutions Subcommittee in establishing a work plan by September 2024 to be presented to City Council. So the purpose of this particular item is to present a discussion items to the subcommittee and gain feedback to develop such work plan. So the number of initiatives that we want to bring forth to the subcommittee and get your feedback on involves affordable housing policies, the annual reporting that is required, community development block grant program, which is also known as CDBG, the home investment partnership program, also known as HOME, homelessness programs and policies, and tenant protection policies as well. As affordable housing is starting to see an uptick within the city of Ventura and throughout the county, we want to ensure that the subcommittee, as well as all of our community members, are kept apprised of these affordable housing developments coming to the forefront, because they do make a significant difference, not only in the lives of the individuals and families who will ultimately reside in these units, but they benefit the community as a whole. So as, you know, as projects are entering into the pipeline, we want to be able to provide the subcommittee with key information, such as like the developer information, description, project descriptions, the affordable and inclusionary housing breakdowns, whether or not the project will serve special populations, funding sources, and income requirements, as well as keep the subcommittee apprised as different items head to hearing for ultimate approval. Also, for annual reporting, we are requesting that both the chair of the subcommittee as well as myself will be responsible for providing annual reports to City Council on all the accomplishments that the subcommittee has for each calendar year. We will also be presenting the CDBG program, and once again, that's a community development block grant. So we are an entitlement jurisdiction as established by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So each year we receive a funding allocation to support individuals and families of low to moderate income. And this past cycle, we did just take this item directly to City Council for their review and then ultimately for City Council's approval. So starting with fiscal year 25-26, these items will first come to the subcommittee for your review and consideration. And then after that review, public comment and presentations by those seeking funding, we will then essentially turn over to the subcommittee to make those funding recommendations that we will ultimately take to council for their ultimate approval. Next, same thing would happen with the Home Investment Partnership Program. We do receive a smaller allocation from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, but that allocation is usually, we collect one to like 3 to 4 years worth of funding allocations to support affordable housing development in the community. So as we receive those applications, by releasing a notice of funding availability, those applications will also be presented to the subcommittee for their review and recommendation, and then those recommendations will then be presented to City Council. And in terms of homelessness programs and policies, essentially, we will continue to do almost status quo, but as we continue to develop new programs and new policies that can really help and continue helping us addressing and combating homelessness, whether it's shelter or unsheltered in our community, we want to make sure that we're getting feedback and guidance from the subcommittee to not only to ensure the success of the program, but also to get your approval so that we can talk about, the requirements of the actual program in terms of reporting requirements and also ensuring that the programs are going to be successful in the long term and significantly make a difference. And then also focusing greatly on our Ventura County Homelessness Plan. Our homelessness plan has a number of different action areas. Focusing on, for example, on the 1-4-10 framework, where we're thinking that you essentially, for every one shelter bed, you develop four, units of permanent housing, and you provide 10 households with rental assistance. So we want to make sure that we're making progress to implementing and succeeding in our goal with the homelessness plan. And then finally, tenant protection policies. We were directed by City Council to ensure that we present a work plan to Council about how we're going to take the necessary steps to ensure that we get an ordinance in front of Council. So we're in the process right now of drafting a tenant protections work plan that will be coming to the subcommittee for their consideration on July 15th. And ultimately, our goal is to present that approved work plan to the full City Council on August 27th of this year. And staff is available for any questions or comments.
Councilmember Duran, questions?
Thank you, Vice Chair Campos. Just a couple things. First of all, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Looks like we're on to a great start to get the information that we need to actually steer the car. I wanted to ask, do you have any idea right now what will be included in the annual report, or will that just be a compilation of all the reports that you get in?
Yeah, so essentially it will be a little bit of a compilation of the reports that we receive for our various, faith-based, nonprofit and community partners. But also, having an idea, of the number of individuals and families that are making that transition from homelessness into permanent housing. Because, once a year we do the point in time count. But those that make that transition between, this year's point in time count and next point in time count are only being captured in our homeless management information system and through Pathways to Home. So we want to ensure that, as we're getting information, that we're compiling that information and then presenting it to City Council to ensure that they know that we're doing our part to ensure that we're reducing the number of homeless individuals and families in our community.
Wonderful. When I was reading about the Community Development Block Grant, one of the things it said is that it's used to provide decent housing, a suitable living environment, and then it said by expanding economic opportunities. Do you know what that means? I'm trying to think what that is.
Yeah. Yes, thank you for the question, Councilmember Duran. So for the City of Ventura, we have a partnership with the Economic Development Corporation, who has been providing, you know, small business loans to up-and-coming business owners that are trying to either, you know, start their business or expand their business. And, you know, we work in collaboration also with economic development to ensure that as they're getting inquiries from businesses that need a little bit of assistance or a little additional funding source, that we're partnering with them to ensure their success.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that response. And then, will there be somebody assigned? I was looking at, you know, the things that are so important that we need to stand by in regards to the housing element and all the things that do. Are we going to have somebody from the city that is going to work? I know we're hiring, the county is hiring a new homelessness solutions director. Do we have somebody that is going to be working with that person?
That person would be me and my team.
Perfect.
Yes.
So okay. Because from what I understand, that person is going to try to unite the entire county to work together to solve homelessness.
Yes.
And that would be you.
Exactly. So, yes, we've been very thankful in the City of Ventura to have a really great partnership with the county as a whole, with the Ventura County Continuum of Care, with the Human Services Agency, Behavioral Health. So we have a great partnership. So, you know, the Housing Services Division here with the city, we're looking at these new positions as extensions of that. More collaboration, more partnership. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're seeing a decrease in the number of individuals and families in our community. Oxnard is also seeing those numbers decrease. But there's other cities within the county that are seeing a little bit of an uptick. So, you know, it'll be great. You know, of course, you know, we want to get our number down to zero, but actually true success with getting the number down to zero for the entire county. Mm,
very good. One of the things I was looking at and thinking about when we were talking about affordable housing policies, and just something to put on the record, I know that right now when somebody who is low income and is looking for affordable housing, let's say units pop up, and I'm not even talking Section 8, I'm just talking our inclusionary housing units. So one pops up and they go to apply for that, and then they have to fill out a application, which is a credit check, which is $40, $50, $60. And then they don't get it, but then another one pops up over here, and then they got to go and throw another $50, $60 at that. So are we working on, or could we start thinking about or working on some kind of a policy where we could get all the landlords on board that have inclusionary housing, all affordable units, so they can go to one place, one website, and they could fill out one application, pay one $60 fee or whatever that costs, and then be able to be on the list. And as soon as the next one comes on, it just goes down. If they choose not to do it, they still stay on top, but then the next one. Have we talked about that, or is that something we're working on?
Thank you for the question, Councilmember Duran. As of right now, no, that's something that we're not working on. There are a number of different requests that a housing provider or developer, in this case, can make in order to confirm someone's eligibility. But what we've been hearing a lot from various community members, especially those that are extremely low to low income, is that the application or credit check fees are astronomical at this point. They're charging $60+ just to run a standard credit check on you, or a background check. So that is putting a little bit of a financial strain on a lot of individuals and families. So essentially, I think that's a great topic of discussion. That's something that our team can look into to see if, you know, other people have established similar policies. And also it will allow the developers to collaborate as well. So yeah, that's something we can look into and report back to the subcommittee.
So just for the record, I've spoken to a couple of developers that have inclusionary housing, and they love the idea. I've also spoken to one of our partners here in the city who says they would be willing to help at least have that conversation, and that would be our housing authority. So I think, you know, we have people ready to go on board if we'd like to have that conversation. So
yes, we would love to have that conversation, because, like, you know, if you apply to three units, you know, at one period of time within a 30 calendar period, you're spending close to $200 just in application and credit check fees. So, you know, any partners that are open to communicating with us, we're more than happy to engage with them. We'll start working, you know, with some of our newer projects that are either online right now or are coming online very shortly. And also, of course, working very closely with our partner, the Housing Authority.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilmember Duran. So I want to continue this conversation a little bit about the deposit for credit checks. Before we got elected to council, there was a discussion in a council meeting, and I think you were already working here, about, they were speaking about tenant protections initially, but the conversation turned a little bit towards the possibility of a database at the city where a person could get a credit check done, a certified credit check, and have it on file at the city so that landlords could verify it was done. Because we all know that most landlords pay into a service where they can look at those credit checks for $5 or $6. They charge more because then they're paying their employee who's doing it. It's a recharge billing system like we have at the city, but people can't afford it. And so if anyone has an opportunity, or if you need me to look back and identify the date, there was some really good solid recommendation in that conversation that may be a way for us to accomplish what Councilmember Duran is talking about. So thank you for that. I also wanted to ask, in all the programming that you're set up to do, you're very well organized. I appreciate how you run your department. I want to know, though, if you have financial needs in these processes that we may not have seen at council or that may not have come up in the current budget that may be necessary throughout the year, if there's a way that you can start to identify them and at least bring them to this committee.
Yes, of course. Thank you for the question, Vice Chair Campos. So essentially, one of the bigger asks that we typically get is when it comes to like 100% affordable housing projects is the financial shortcomings. And we've been incredibly thankful to the City Council that, you know, you've been aiding us in assisting these developers by deferring their development impact fees. That's a great help. It closes a lot of funding gaps for those affordable housing developers. Outside of that, the only other thing that we can think of is that as we move forward with the initiative of tenant protections, as it is a City Council goal, it's identified our housing elements, there are going to be some costs associated with running that program. So we're going to be working very closely, our department as a whole, the Community Development Department, as well as the City Attorney's Office, to start kind of figuring out what the actual costs are going to be for making sure that if we do enact tenant protections, that the program is successful, that there's a lot of education and outreach. Because like I said, it's one thing to have an ordinance, but you want to make sure that you have the support behind the ordinance via staff. So we will be evaluating that, and we'll be bringing those to consideration to the subcommittee first, and then based on your feedback and guidance, we will then take that to a full City Council meeting.
Thank you very much. Are there any public comments on this item?
Thank you, Vice Chair. There is one public comment for this item. Judy Alexander, you'll have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. I want to begin by saying thank you. One, what we're having is an important conversation. But I really want to thank Leona Rollins. In the short time she has been here, she has had to work with 3 different community development directors, that's 3 different bosses, as well as 3 different city managers. And with that, we keep asking more and more. So I want to be sure that as we develop a plan and go through with that plan, that there is sufficient staff and funds to implement whatever it is that council requests. We can't keep asking the same people to do more and more without making sure that there is sufficient staffing and funds for full implementation, because when you do A, that means B's not done unless it's covered in some way. The second thing that I just have a question, and I don't know who would need to answer it. When there was a proposal to change and improve upon the winter warming shelter, we were told by a council meeting that that couldn't happen because the housing element had stated that we had to follow what was originally proposed. I have no idea of the validity of that statement or not, only that it was stated. But my question then is, if that same housing element said the Planning Commission, which was two community development directors back, said that they're supposed to do the homelessness and the homeless plan, what happens if you shift it to City Council, and what changes then need to be made in that housing element so that the city doesn't lose funding as we're trying to move forward? Because that's a major change. I also want to make sure that the housing plan for ending homelessness includes the gap needs that VSSTF has put forward on multiple occasions. So we appreciate that, and thank you for your efforts.
That concludes public comment.
Thank you. Thank you for the comment. So I guess we're ready to move on to the last item. Not last, but your next item.
Yes, so the next item is our Safe Sleep Program. This item will be presented by Management Analyst Rachel West.
Hello. On the March 5th, 2024 Hopes and Solutions Subcommittee meeting, the subcommittee voted to change the eligibility requirements for the Safe Sleep Program by reducing some of the requirements, which would include that an individual utilizing the Safe Sleep Program only has to have ties to Ventura County, an operable personal or recreational vehicle, as well as a valid driver's license. This is a reduction from the previous requirements, which did require that an individual utilizing the program had to have active insurance as well as a current registration and proof of residency in the city of Ventura. The city of Ventura is currently working on releasing a request for proposal to find a new program operator as well as a security team. We continue to work with the two faith-based organizations to ensure a smooth restart to the program. Staff recommends that the subcommittee receives and files this report. Any questions or comments?
Questions?
Thank you, Vice Chair Campos. Couple questions. I don't remember, but are RVs allowed in the Safe Sleep Program?
Thank you for the question, Councilmember Duran. Yes, that is correct. We do allow recreational vehicles in the Safe Sleep Program.
Thank you. And you answered a lot of the questions earlier for me. So who's responsible for paying for the restrooms at these locations?
So in the past, there was not a specific agreement with the faith-based organizations or with the city in terms of who would pay for those additional costs for the bathroom facilities. But that's the reason why the housing services team is essentially scheduling meetings actually for this week with both faith-based organizations to talk about those costs, as well as one thing that we were thinking about, but they also confirmed, is a need for security teams. Because in the past, a lot of people were no longer able to access the program because there were damages to like the facilities, damages to, you know, like landscaping, things of that nature. So we are ensuring that we are going to be providing not only case management services, but also a security team, and then also ensuring that we either eliminate or reduce the cost on these faith-based organizations willing to partner with us.
That's great, because you know, if we want to do it right, obviously there's going to be more costs that are incurred with that. So you're creating the agreement right now, which is awesome, which is really great, and I'm glad you're talking with them, because at $30,000 for a case manager, like, plus all the other things, so obviously this is going to have to grow in budget, right? You know, one of the things I'm a little concerned with is them not operating. We're not in operation, so we made decisions based on information we didn't know. We said, let's go countywide. Well, we said that because we were hearing that it's not working, that they couldn't be a part of it because they weren't even being accepted in the Safe Sleep Program. So how do we know that it's really not working? It just wasn't open. So obviously that, you know, here we are going, well, let's make it countywide, but we don't know if it could have worked. A little concerned with that, because we did make a decision based on going countywide because we were told it wasn't working, but it just wasn't open. So I'm wondering if we start with Ventura again. I'm not saying that we need to vote on that right now or anything, but it's something to really look at Because I think what happens when we when we start going countywide on everything or on programs that we have, then we eliminate the opportunity for other cities to develop something that they could develop. And imagine if all the cities had a safe sleep program, what a wonderful thing that would be. But anyway, I wanted to say that, and I wanted to say another thing in regards to the parameters. We said that as long as they had a operable vehicle and a valid driver's license, that's sufficient for them to get into the program. So basically something that is against the law to operate right now, so you have to have insurance and you have to have registration for your car in order to be in compliance with the state of California or with our county or whatever, however you want to say that, we're saying it's okay if you don't have that. Now, I'm saying maybe if we say that it's okay to break the law, that, you know, number one priority for a case manager is to get them their insurance and get them their valid driver's license. That should be number one on the priority list. You know, at the city center, we say you have to be willing to work. You have to get a job if you're going to work here. But that's not, you know, breaking any law. You just have to get a job. This one, I get it. They're short on funds. They can't do it. So that should be number one priority. That's what we're going to do first, is help you get that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you for the comment and question, Councilmember Duran. So essentially, when this program first started, I believe it started in 2019, before my tenure with the city. That was one of the things that the Salvation Army was assisting individuals and families with, in terms of, like, if they didn't have a driver's license, or they were, you know, helping them, you know, connect with DMV to get a driver's license. If they didn't have access to insurance, they were referring them to various low-income insurance companies to ensure they have insurance. And then even, like, you know, there was also some times where, you know, the city would put in funding to help someone get their vehicle fixed if it was like a reasonable amount of money that it required. So that's something similar that we're going to be looking for with our new operator, to ensure that they're not only, you know, connecting them to services to address their homelessness, but also to make sure they're in compliance with our local state laws. Because, you know, we don't want it to be a situation where someone, you know, parks their vehicle and then they go to the restroom and their vehicle gets towed because they don't have, you know, up-to-date registration or insurance. So, like I said, the whole goal of the Safe Sleep Program, as well as all our other homelessness programs, is to set these individuals and families up for long-term success.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And lastly, I think in regards to this program, it's good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Councilmember Duran. So, since we no longer have the Salvation Army as a partner, do we have a plan to assist people in getting those requirements met?
Yes, thank you for the question, Vice Chair Campos. So essentially, in the interim, once we have agreements in place, which we do foresee those happening first, while we finalize the request for proposal, also known as the RFP, is that we will be the ones coordinating with the individuals, connecting them to our homeless social services worker to get them connected to various resources, to help them get a driver's license. We can also look up information. The Department of Insurance has a number of low-income and affordable insurance companies. So like I said, our job is to make sure we're connecting them to services in the interim so that the Safe Sleep Program can come back alive, people can utilize it, and then they can get connected to those services, the resources that they really need to for their success. Yes.
Thank you. And so in addition to letting us know what the build-out of your budget will need to be for the services themselves, let us know if you need more employee help or what kind of assistance you'll need to run this program or to keep it going smoothly, mm-hmm, without overburdening your staff.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes?
One of the things I was just thinking about in regards to grants, like there's got to be something out there to help individuals that are sleeping in cars. Is that something we could look for? Is that one of a current grant that exists that we could work that out somehow?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Councilmember Duran. So the grants, depending on the source, whether they're local, state, or federal grants, does have certain parameters that they want the grantees to have. In my experience, I have not seen a particular grant that solely just addresses individuals and families residing in their recreational or personal vehicles. And then when we researched safety programs in our neighboring jurisdictions, as well as Los Angeles County and Santa Barbara County, a lot of the cities within that county are utilizing their general fund to pay for this. If they don't have like a designated tax that they utilize for homeless services and programs. But yeah, as you know, if we find a grant, looking at Jennifer Harkey, if we find a grant that can, you know, has a little bit more not strict conditions, then we're always looking for opportunities to expand our various programs that we have so that we won't be as dependent on general city funds and more dependent on utilizing grants. But one thing to also note about grants is grants typically are just one-time allocations. The funding is not hardly ever ongoing. So, you know, we have to be very strategic on how we apply and receive that funding and how we ultimately utilize it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilmember. Are there any speakers on this item?
Thank you, Vice Chair. We do have one speaker on this item, Jennifer Harkey.
Thank you so much. So Jennifer Harkey with the County Executive Office, and I serve as the Program Director for the Continuum of Care. Just speaking from that lens, I did want to just recommend a couple of things when we're talking about safe sleep. Understanding that these dollars are coming from the city, and also knowing that over the past year, the particular program has not been operational, I would caution the city of opening it up countywide. Without having some sort of pilot within the first year. So that is one recommendation that I would say, unless, of course, in the RFP, there's a partnership with county services, such as whole person care, behavioral health, human services, to help provide that case management and connections to housing. Also, there's been some comments made about restrictions or the ability to access safe sleep. And I think that's been the biggest challenge in the past. From our understanding, the majority do not qualify because they do not have current registration or a current identification card. Now, through the One Stop and some of our county services, people can get a waiver or the ability to get an ID, and so that's one way to be able to get identification. However, the registration is really difficult because we just don't have the flexible funding through our current grants. A lot of times we're depending on churches or local nonprofits to help us cover some of those costs. So having a flexible funding pool to help with some of that, with basic maintenance or registration, may be something to consider. So thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes our public speakers.
Any other questions, Councilmember Duran?
No, thank you.
And anything else from you?
Not at this time, no.
Thank you. So now it's time to discuss items for future agendas. Do you have any recommendations from staff or the council member? Anyone in the public have something that they would like to see on a future agenda? So that concludes that item. And if there's no other committee or staff communications, we'll adjourn the meeting. Do you have some more?
Yes. Thank you, Vice Chair Campos. So just as a FYI, essentially our next meeting is scheduled to take place on July 15, 2024 in the community meeting room at 3 p.m. We look forward to seeing everyone here again. There will be a number of items that we'll be bringing forward, so we will be continuing to discuss any items that were identified for the work plan. We will also be bringing forth the tenant protections work plan. There will be also a discussion regarding the Portland Lews, and we will also be requesting a presentation by Jennifer Harkey to present the numbers for the 2024 point and sign count.
Thank you.
I have some.
Two things. Yes.
So two things I wanted to share with you. Those of you who were involved with the Foul Weather Shelter, we on the 25th the council meeting on June 25th. We would love for you to be there because we are going to recognize those of you who volunteered for the foul weather shelter, and you'll be getting certificates, and it's going to be a wonderful celebration. We're also going to share the numbers for the last several years of what was accomplished at the foul weather shelter. Secondly, I wanted to let you know that we are having a celebration at the City Center Transitional Living on July 1st, 2024 from 5 to 7 p.m. And it is a celebration because let me tell you what happened. We had this balloon payment for 3 years. It was $1.95 million. And we had to come up with $150,000 by July 1st. We were coming into June. We had to come up with $150,000. So one of our board members had a kind of a thing at church where she shared about the city center, and they raised like $2,500, but we still had this balance due. Well, one of our board members got a call from a lady that she met back in December. Hasn't seen her or spoken to her since then. And she called up one of our board president, and she says, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that the Lord has been waking me up every day for the last 2 weeks about this balloon payment." And she says, I believe I'm supposed to pay it off. So on Monday, she wrote us a check for $147,000, and the balloon payment is paid off, and we're going to have a party on July 1st, and you're all invited. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Duran. So on that happy note, the meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. was